The following is a seminar entitled Pure Devotional Service, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 24th, 2015, in Melbourne, Australia.
Vandeham. Shri Guru, Shri Jatanara Kamala, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, I've been asked to speak tonight about what is Uttama Bhakti. There is Tama and there is Uttama. Tama means this material world of ignorance. And uttama means beyond this material world. That same word uttama in Sanskrit has appeared in English in the word ultimate. So the ultimate abode, or the ultimate consciousness, is uttama bhakti, pure devotional service to Krishna, as described by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Sarvadharman pujit yajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayami ma shuchaha. Give up all other conceptions of duty and take one duty only, and that is to fully surrender yourself unto me. Don't hesitate, don't be nervous about it. Just fully surrender unto me and I will take away all your sinful reactions for your millions and billions of lives that you've try to enjoy separately from me here in this material world. So that's what we want to do here. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant to train its members how to achieve uttama bhakti, the ultimate consciousness. How is that done? What are the steps? This is described by Rupa Goswami. The first step is called shraddha. You have faith in the process. You think, well, those devotees seem very nice. Their knowledge sounds very good to me. I have some faith in them, you see. That's the first step, shraddha. You have some faith. When you have the faith, then what do? You associate with those devotees. That's called sadhu sangha. You think, well, these devotees are pretty, I really like them. They're wonderful. They have some special qualities that I really admire. I like to be with them and learn from them. So now you're on the level of sadhu sangha. And after you associate with the devotees for some time, relishing the nectar of their association, being amazed by the amazing wisdom, the amazing qualities they have, then you start to think, well, I think I'd like to be like that myself. I would like to be like these devotees. This is what happened to me. I was having sadhu sangha, but I was not thinking I would surrender. So that's it. I was hovering at the sadhu sangha level. But then one day I realized these devotees are experiencing a type of bliss that is completely beyond my comprehension. A superior type of happiness, which is completely beyond my reach. Kind of like the flock, the fox jumping for the grapes and never being able to get them. They're tasting something that I cannot taste. So when you realize that there's something experienced by those devotees that you're not experiencing, you see, then you think, well, I think I'd like to go to the next step. I'm going to take up this process seriously. I'll take initiation. I'll take a vow to follow the rules and regulations of chanting at least 16 rounds a day in the japa mala beads. I'll strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. See, now you want to move from sadhu sangha to bhajana kriya. You want to lock yourself into the process, you see. So when you actually do it, you actually get initiated. Now you're locked in, you see. Bhajana kriya. You're engaging in the activities on the transcendental platform that liberate you from this material existence. Are you fully self-realized yet? No. Do you have a long way to go? Yes. But are you on the right track? Yes. So actually, in one sense, you're already liberated in Bhajana Kriya if you take it very seriously. Just like we recently flew the other day from Johannesburg to Sydney on Qantas, and it was a 12-hour flight. We went through hell getting on the plane, and we went to check in, and they said, well, you don't have a visa, so we can't fly. And, oh my God, we forgot to renew our visa. So we went through so many things, and then we delayed for an hour getting the visa, and then we went to security. Was okay. We got to the custom, it was like a line of about a mile long, but oh my God, how are we going to make the flight? So, but sure enough, it went. They had about 20 people at 20 different windows. So we got there just in time as they were boarding. But once we, so there's a lot of, we're going to make it. Once we got on the plane, we're sitting on the plane. Now, we're as good as in Sydney. We're sitting here on the plane. We got our seats. We're buckled in, and we're as good as in Sydney right now. So Bhajana Kriya is like, you get on the plane, you're buckled in, you're as good as at the destination, you see. Of course, in the material world, the plane may or may not make it. But in this airline, it always makes it. Prabhupada Airways always makes it, you see. Prabhupada Airways never fails to get you to the destination. So Bhajana Kriya means now you've checked in, you've cleared security, you see. You've passed customs, you're sitting on the plane, getting ready to take off. And that's Bhajana Kriya. So now, as you progress from Bhajana Kriya, the next stage is called Anartha Nivritti. So what does that mean? Anartha means you got so much dirt, you got so much unnecessary baggage from millions of lifetimes. You got lust, you got anger, you have greed, you have madness, you have illusion, you have envy, you have fear. You have all kinds of unnecessary crud contaminating your heart, you see, which is standing, blocking you from actually experiencing Krishna in full. So you have to start working to get rid of that. So how do you do that? You simply have to follow your spiritual master's orders. You take the vow you've made to the spiritual master. You keep your vow, whatever instructions he gives you, you take them as your very life and soul. And by doing that, by that obedience to the instructions you have received from your Guru Maharaj, now that crud just starts flying away. Like you clap your hands and all the crows just fly away, you see? So the anartha crows, they just go flying away. So when you actually fulfill the step called anartha nivritti, Prabhupada says now you're 75% pure. So you're making really good progress, you see. You're only 25% contaminated now. But that's still a lot of contamination, considering how contaminating we are, you see. So then you got to keep going further from anartinavritti. Then you, when you, by continuing to follow the orders you receive from your spiritual master, faithfully chanting your rounds, following the principles, being obedient, humble, associating nicely with the devotees, having respect for all the Vaishnavas, seeing them as representatives of Guru and Krishna in this way, yeah, you become even more advanced. You get to like 90% pure, only 10% contaminated, nishta. Become fixed up devotee. Now you've really got the ball rolling. Actually, if you ever gone on a trip over a mountain range, just like we travel every year from Santiago, we're doing actually our next destination after a year is, and we're going to Sydney and then we're going to Santiago. From Santiago we're going to Mendoza, but the Andes Mountains are in between Santiago and Mendoza. Now we actually fly over the mountains, but many of the devotees, they go by vehicle. You know, you go up, 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 way, way up, high up into the Andes Mountains, and then down. See? Now the up, that's a struggle. Up, 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 but down is, you see. So once you get past the anartinavritti, you see, it's an uphill struggle at that point. Yeah, those senses, they keep telling me, you know, I eat too much, I sleep too much, I get lusty, you know, I get angry, I get greedy, I get scared, all this crud going around, it's got to fight with it, and it's difficult, it's struggle, 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 struggle. But once you pass anartinavritti, there's no more struggle. It's practically automatic, it's just like gliding in to perfection. So we should really struggle hard to achieve the anartinavritti stage when the dirt becomes reduced almost to nil. This is described in the Bhagavatam. That it becomes destroyed almost to nil, you see. That's anartinavritti. There's a little bit contamination. But once you get to that stage, you see, it's almost to nil, then it becomes very easy to advance in Krishna consciousness. You're getting so much taste from devotional service. You're getting so much taste from the name. You're getting so much taste from hearing from devotees, you know, from preaching, from Harinam. You're getting so much taste and flavor and rasa and sweetness from these things that it just becomes a natural, spontaneous flow of your heart, you see, to continue further to the next stage after nishta, which is ruchi. The ruchi stage, the name is so sweet. It's inconceivably sweet. We get some inkling of an idea of what it must be like by hearing from Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami says, Tunde tandamading, Tunde tandamading, Vitanite tundavali labdiye, Karna krodha kadamani gatayate kunarvide vraspriham, Cheta pangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim, No jani janita triyadbir amritai krishneti varnadvai. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, Krishna is personally dancing on my tongue and there's so much nectar oozing out from Krishna that my one little tiny mouth can hardly hold any of it. I need to have, therefore, millions of mouths to capture at least some more of that nectar. And when after uttering Krishna on the tongue, then now the sound vibration Krishna is entering into the holes of my two ears, oozing out so much nectar that what these two ears can hold, I need to have billions and trillions of ears to capture at least a little bit more of this nectar. And then when Krishna dances in the core of my heart, Krishna, 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 I'm stunned, I'm paralyzed in a state of transcendental bliss. So this describes the ruchi stage, you see. You become so addicted to the name that you can't ever get enough of the name. You actually want to chant 24 hours a day. You don't want to eat anymore. You don't want to sleep anymore. You just want to chant like Hare Das Thakur. There's so much nectar in the name, you never want to stop chanting. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. We know we're not there yet because we finish our rounds and go, oh, good, I got my rounds done. Right? Oh, I finished my rounds. Prabhupada made fun of us one time. He was Shuddha Kirti, his servant. He said, Prabhupada's chanting Hare Krishna. And he went like this. He said, no, my rounds are like that. Now I can do any damn thing I want. He was actually explaining our mood, showing our mood. You see? So we have a ways to go to get to Namaruchi, but that state is there. When the name becomes so sweet, it becomes sweeter than the sweetest honey. You could be offered anything of this world and it wouldn't appeal to you. You could offer you the post of Brahma and it wouldn't appeal to you. You see? All I need is Nam, Nam, Krishna Nam, Krishna, Krishna Nam, Krishna Nam, Krishna Nam. You see, that's the Ruchi stage. So now you're really getting, you're almost a pure devotee. You're just a hair away from being a pure devotee now, you see. The beginning stage, Prabhupada explains in his book, the Narada Bhakti Sutra, when you get to the Asakti stage, which is in this stage after Namaruchi, then actually now you're a pure devotee, completely pure. There's still some more far realizations, but you're actually a pure devotee now at the Asakti stage. Prabhupada explains. The Asakti stage, you actually realize who you are in the spiritual world. We all have an identity, you see. You're actually in one of Krishna's associates in the spiritual world, but you don't remember that. You're actually one of his intimate associates from the spiritual sky. But you don't remember it, you see. It's buried beneath all that lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, and fear. But actually, you are one of the intimate associates of Krishna in the spiritual world. When you get to the Asati stage, you realize who you actually are. And then you start to experience the emotions and the feelings of that particular relationship you have as a cowherd boy, a cowherd girl, a cow, a peacock, a rock. Yes, even a rock. Whatever you may be, you start to experience the feelings and emotions of that relationship, and that's called the bhava stage. And then there's eruptions of transcendental ecstasy in your body, like a volcano going off within your heart, volcanic eruptions of bhakti within your heart. Of course, the realized devotees suppress these symptoms externally so that the fools and rascals will not imitate the bhava stage. But within the heart, these devotees are experiencing explosions of transcendental ecstasies, the emotions of love of God and our awakening. And that does the final clearing away of anything that's blocking the being fully reestablished in his original active relationship with Krishna and his transcendental pastimes. He's actually acting now fully in that relationship again. He's fully reinstated in that eternal relationship. That's called the prema stage. So, doesn't matter where you are, plug in to the process. Plug in. Whether the Shraddha stage, Sadhusanga stage, Bhajana Kriya stage, doesn't matter where you are in the process, but plug in properly and you're as good as liberated already. You're on the airplane. Even though it's still in Johannesburg, it hasn't reached Sydney. You're as good as liberated if you plug into the process. So that's Uttama Bhakti in a little nutshell. If there's any questions, I see a bunch of blank pages out there. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them. We can speak a little more about this amazing thing. This Uttama Bhakti is the natural condition of the living entity. Jivara Svarupa Hoy Krishnera Nichadas. It's not something artificially imposed by some dictatorial guru, so-called guru, you see. This is naturally within you, just like fire contains, a match contains fire dormant within it. You simply have to strike it and the fire comes out. You have Uttama Bhakti in your heart right now. And the spiritual master, the preachers, they know the art of how to strike you. You know, how to ignite your consciousness. It's just like there's a spark, you see. Just like If you ever came, when I was in the Boy Scouts, we used to camp out. You know, we'd go on a camp out. We'd have a sit around a campfire late at night, you know, burning the campfire. And we'd finally, that's it, let's go to sleep. We get up in the morning. Well, this time we got to light the fire to cook breakfast. But there were still some coals that were alive. You didn't have to really light the fire again. You just had to put some wood and fan the coals, and then boom, it comes out again, you see. So actually, you have Uttama Bhakti, just like those coals in the morning. They're still there. They're still burning. They're covered now by all the ashes. But the Prema Bhakti, the Uttama Bhakti is there in your heart, you see. So the spiritual master's duty is to fan that, those coals, until boom, there the fire comes out again, you see. So this is why a spiritual master is essential. According to Prabhupada's instruction in the Nectar of Devotion in Induction, he said, without initiation by the bona fide spiritual master, the connection with Krishna is not there, it's not made. So there is some preliminary getting ready for the connection. Those stages are Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. But you can't go, you cannot achieve the third step without initiation, you see. The third step is when you make that solid vow that, Guru Maharaj, now you're my eternal Lord, I'm your eternal servant for all of eternity, now you please instruct me, you see. That's the Bhajana Kriya stage. So you can't go beyond, you can't awaken the, you can't become free of anarthas without initiation. You can't become fixed up without initiation. You can't get a taste for the holy name without a full taste of the holy name without initiation. You can't become a pure devotee. All these things require the prerequisite of step number three, Bhajana Kriya, where you take initiation. So some people think, well, I'll do it on my own, but that's their foolishness. You have to have the expert guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. So we're fortunate. We have the greatest of spiritual masters in ISKCON. We have His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is so powerful that actually His teachings can save the whole world from irreligion. Prabhupada says, our mission of this movement is to save the whole world from irreligion. So Prabhupada's teachings have this potency. And those who strictly follow Prabhupada and strictly repeat His teachings, Prabhupada said, actually by doing that, they can take over the world. Of course, He also said it's not possible, so it's a challenge. At least we can take over part of it. You see? We can take over part of the world. Those persons who are intelligent and inclined to higher knowledge, we can at least capture them and make them Krishna conscious. Create a class of Brahmins, enlightened teachers on this planet, which will make a difference. Any questions now? Okay. All right. Uttama Bhakti and Prema Bhakti are the same thing. Yeah. The ultimate bhakti is Prema Bhakti. Just think of it, Uttama also means ultimate in English. The bhakti itself is Uttama, so why we have Uttama Bhakti explicitly? Does it mean that there are other bhakti levels? The other levels before Uttama are just different coverings of Uttama, different degrees of being covered, that's all. Uttama Bhakti is when all the coverings are removed. Now, there's different levels. Bhava Bhakti, there's a slight coloration, not really a color covering. Ashakti, there's a deeper coloration, not really a covering at that point. Namaruchi, there's a little covering. In this way, you see. Asakti, there's more covering. Amarjanaviti, there's more covering. So there's just different degrees of being covered or colored once you get to Asakti. Okay, how can I understand whether I'm a Kanishta Adhikari or Madhyama Adhikari? Well, if you don't know, you're a Kanishta. A Madhyama Adhikari actually is very, very realized in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says a Madhyama Adhikari cannot fall down. So it's a very realized position to become a Madhyama Adhikari. If you're a little bit unsure what's going on, You're probably somewhere in between a Kanishta and a Majjhima. Because in ISKCON, we train you off the bat not to be a Kanishta, you know. Kanishta means you go to the temple and you pray for material things. That's Kanishta. But we have Kanishta tendencies that hover, that go along with us. Until you become like a full-on Majjhima Bhakta, there will be some Kanishta tendencies, you know, Krishna give me this, Krishna give me that mentality. When you come fully in the mood of, you know, devotees are worshipable, Krishna is supreme, I worship the devotees, I preach to the innocent, I avoid the demons, you're fully absorbed in that mood, then you're a Majjhamadikari. If you're not sure, that means you've still got some blockage there, that you're not fully a Majjhamadikari. You're probably becoming a Majjhamadikari, but you're not fully a Majjhamadikari. When you're fully there, you'll know. No one has to tell you. One can understand one's level of awakening. It's Prabhupada gives a verse in the Bhagavatam in this connection. Bhakti parashanu varo varaktir anyatta shayshat ka eka kalaha prapadya manashri tasnana shush tushti pujachoyo nagasam. Devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from material things occur simultaneously for one who is engaged in devotional service, just as a satisfaction of the tongue, eradication of hunger and nourishment of the body occur increasingly with each bite for one who is engaged in the activity known as eating. So just as when you eat, you know you're getting filled up. In the same way, when you're actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, you will feel it. You will feel how your heart is becoming soft when you see the deities, when you hear the holy name, when you think about Krishna, how sometimes even tears will come to the eyes, you see. These things will be experienced. The softening of the heart will come as you actually go to the Majjhama stage. And you'll start to experience Krishna everywhere, it's described. You'll experience Krishna everywhere. Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon, I'm the sound and the ether, the ability in man. When you see somebody very expertly doing something, you go, oh wow, that's a manifestation of Krishna. You start in this way, you start to connect everything with Krishna wherever you go, you see. Everything. And you naturally you'll become detached from sense gratification. Okay, can we change our svarup in the spiritual world? Generally, you don't because you're svarup, but Prabhupada says you can do that. It's not that you're locked in. Well, you have to be a rock. But I want to be a gopi. Now, everybody can, you get to be whatever you want to be. Actually, but there are some people who actually want to be a rock. That's what they want. There's some people who want to be a flute. They don't want to be a gopi because they think, well, those gopis, they only get Krishna's lips every now and then. We get Krishna's lips all the time. You see, that you couldn't pay them to become a gopi. No, being a flute is where it's at. So whatever your rasa is, you'll think, this is the best rasa. I feel sorry for those other devotees. They don't get to be a rock like me. But you can change, but generally it doesn't happen because everybody is completely enlivened about their relationship with Krishna. I get to relate with them in a way that nobody else does. I have my own personal, intimate, unique relationship with the Lord. Nobody else has it, and I love it. That's actually the move. But you can switch if you want. It's complete freedom in the spiritual world. Even the trees will even give you whatever you want in Krishna's service, you see. If you want to offer Krishna some pakoras and chutney, the desire tree will give it to you. You see? You want to play you want to sing a nice song on the madanga, the tree will give you a nice madanga drum. And Kopa Vriksha trees. So it's full freedom, but in Krishna's service, there's no restrictions. So it's not that you're locked in. I don't want to be this. No. Whatever you want to be, you get to be it. There's full freedom. Okay, how do we atone ourselves when we kill ants and other living entities unknowingly? Just by chanting Hare Krishna and surrendering to Guru and Krishna, any unknowing sins are automatically atoned. As long as you're engaged in devotional service, you're fine. The ambulance driver can run a red light without getting a ticket, you see, because he's doing his duty as an ambulance driver. In fact, the police will even come and give an escort. He runs a red light, the police car will give him an escort to get to the hospital on time, you see. But don't take advantage of it, Prabhupada. But yeah, I think I'll step on a few ants for fun. No. No. You have to try to avoid. Whatever is done unknowingly, you can't avoid it, it's okay. Because you're fully absorbed in serving Krishna. Although the scriptures say that karma is not transferable, yet how is it our guru takes his disciples' karma? That karma is absorbed by Krishna. Mokshyasarmi ma sarvapapebo mokshyasami. Krishna says, I am the swift deliverer. So Krishna actually absorbed the karma through the chain of disciplic succession. And Krishna does say, I have to take that karma away. And Prabhupada confirms this. Sometimes a spiritual master gets sick or have some accident because of his sinful activities of his disciples. So disciples should be very careful not to in any way put the spiritual master into difficulty. One has to be very careful never to put my spiritual master in difficulty by breaking the principles. Although the scriptures say that, oh yeah, second question, by normal standards, pure devotional service seems to be unachievable in one lifetime. Actually, Prabhupada, in one place the book says, yes, you cannot achieve it in one lifetime. Prabhupada actually says that in his books. But we're living in the time of Lord Chaitanya. And there's a special boon in this age. In this age, in one lifetime you can achieve it by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore we chant with great enthusiasm, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Lord Chaitanya is so kind that even though normally there's no way you could ever get liberated in one lifetime, simply by giving this one life completely in the service of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Goswami in India, he said, just absorb your whole life in serving Lord Chaitanya, and if there's anything lacking for you at the time of death, he will cover for you. So Lord Chaitanya will cover for you, you see, and you go back. I remember one time I took a, this reminds me, one time I took a Sanskrit course at the University of Texas. See, after I became a devotee, for different purposes, for my household of life at that time, working, you know, some computer job, I was taking different courses. I made straight A's in all my courses, but Sanskrit was more than I could handle. It was, I was having a real tough time, but I went up during the final exam to the teacher, and the teacher gave me some bonus questions that I was able to answer, so I got a B in the course. With the help of the teacher, you see, I passed. So I was thinking that going back to Godhead could be something like that too, you see. You're sincerely trying your best, but you're having a really tough time. You know, God, this lust, this anger, this greed, this madness, illusion, envy, this paranoia. I got all this stuff bothering me. I'm trying to chant. I'm trying to serve my guru. I'm trying to please everyone, but I got so much crud. I don't know how I'm ever going to make it, you see. Well, just sincerely try your best. At the time of death, Lord Chaitanya will come there and just give you some special bonus points to help you make the transcendental journey to the spiritual sky. Okay. How to not be disheartened when the prospect of getting to Nishta out of anartanavritti seems impossible when times are tough? I theoretically know it's possible, but at times it feels like I'll never get there. How to know one is progressing? It is a matter of less material things. No, it's a matter of taste. As I mentioned earlier, that Bhagavatam verse, when you're actually getting a taste for Krishna, Krishna, you see. When you're actually getting a taste for the name, a taste for seeing the Lord, a taste, the more your taste increases, you are making progress. So even if you're not aware that you're making practice, if you keep chanting every day, faithfully following the regulated principles and chanting at least 16 rounds every day, serving the mission of Lord Chaitanya in whatever free time you have, just by doing those things, I guarantee you, you are absolutely making progress. There's no question about it. By the mercy of Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, the mercy of the Vaishnavas, you are definitely making progress, even if you can't feel it. It's happening. It's like a little kid says, Mommy, Mommy, I want to grow up. I want to be tall like Daddy. And I don't see that I'm growing up. You see? I want to grow. Why can't I grow? I want to be big like Daddy. Well, you will be. You just got to be patient. You see? Even the parents don't really see, but Aunt Sally, who sees him once a year at Christmas time, you go, wow, he's really grown. You see? So you may not be able to see how you're making progress, but actually you are making progress. You are. If you're chanting, following this process sincerely, I guarantee you are making tangible progress every day. You're getting closer and closer to Krishna at every minute. You're getting closer. We're almost out of questions here. If anybody wants some more, maybe we can end here. Okay. I'm taking association of good devotees. I can feel a voice from inside that indulge yourself in Krishna consciousness. I try every day, but every time failed. I never reached up to 16 times around the Maha Mantra. I'll give you a tip how to easily do 16 rounds every day. Those of you who cannot do it and want to do it, here's a surefire guarantee. You will chant 16 rounds every day without fail. You fast until your rounds are done every day. Don't eat it. Don't put one morsel of food in your mouth until your rounds are done. And I guarantee you will chant 16 rounds every day without fail. It's very simple. Feed your soul first and then feed your body. You see, if you're going on a long car trip, well, let's see what's a better analogy here. What's the most important thing? To have a car that's running nicely or to have a healthy body? If you're sick, will you think about taking your car down to have the tires changed? No, you go to the doctor. See, there's the car and there's the driver of the car. Which is more important? The driver or the car? You see? So, you, the soul, are the driver. Your first business is to put yourself in a good, healthy condition. Otherwise, what is the use of taking care of the car? If the driver is sick, what's the use of having a car that runs nicely? There's no point if the driver is sick. First, make sure the driver is healthy, then take care of the car, you see. So, your first business is to chant 16 rounds, you see. If you can't get it done, then don't take anything. No food. You can drink water, I'll allow water, but no food to go into your mouth until your rounds are done. And then you get them done very early every day. Even if you just do it for 2 or 3 days, you probably get enough power that you can then take prasadam and finish your rounds if you have a few left. But I recommend you do it at least for a few days to know that, yes, I can do 16 rounds. You see, get your confidence up. But to get the ball rolling in the beginning, don't take any prasadam until your rounds are done every day. Then once you get strong, then you can take prasadam if you want. But I personally still follow this principle. I don't take prasadam until my rounds are done. Okay. But I will continue. I saw some inspirational videos of good devotees. I heard some good lectures, but still I'm feeling that I'm not moving towards Krishna. Well, if you follow my instructions, you will, I guarantee you. I am not confused, maybe. Wait a minute. I'm not confused, maybe. You are confused, definitely. Maybe is the word of a confused person. As soon as I see maybe, I know this person is confused. I think the concept of Krishna is clear to me, I think. Well, that's... You mentioned Krishna, I feel good about it. You mentioned Krishna's name. Since you said Krishna's name, I have full faith in your ability to become a pure devotee. Since you wrote the word Krishna on this piece of paper, I have full faith that you will become a pure devotee. Full faith in your ability to become a pure devotee. But just follow my instruction. Don't eat until your rounds are done. Until you become fixed in chanting 16 rounds every day without fail, no prasadam until your rounds are done every day. How to make your mind a friend? By keeping it always absorbed in Krishna Smadhanam. Is the universal form of the Lord manifesting anywhere in the universe? Yes. You're sitting on it right now. Where does it exist? You're in the middle of it right now. Okay, Vaishnavas are very merciful. In spite of that, the four Kumaras cursed Jaya and Vijaya. It's a transcendental pastime, actually. It's a transcendental lila. So they could have some adventures. And Krishna, Prabhupada said that when Krishna wants to fight, he fights with his devotees. So they became demons so Krishna could have a good fight. There's no fighting in the spiritual world. So when Krishna has his mood to fight, some of his devotees come down and take the role of demons so Krishna can have a good fight. Prabhupada said like that. Huh?
Keep his body fit. Keep his body fit.
Keep, yeah. Prabhupada said to keep the body fit. Krishna likes to work out sometimes. Wants to keep his body fit. So he has his devotee play heavy, heavy demons so he can come down and work, have a good workout, a body workout. Prabhupada's amazing the way he describes them, same thing sometimes. So the question, well, is run dry. And so that means maybe you all have had enough. You've heard enough tonight. You've got your appetite fully satisfied to hear about Uttama Bhakti. But I guarantee you, the more you can go on hearing about this, the more you will make progress. I do have an e-course. If you're not aware of it, you can go to backtohome.com and you can get on my free e-course where you get some push every day towards Prema Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti. Or you can sign, if you forget that, go to joincourse.com, backtohome.com or joincourse.com. It'll take you to the same place. So, if there's no further questions, we can. There's some announcements. We have some mahaprasadam to give out as well. So, we'll continue on to the next part of the program. Uttama Bhakti Ki Jai.